all that gain brings the radiation. You're stacking 16 short yagis, so it's got a broad front, but it's got a vertical lobe that's sitting like 5 degrees or 6 degrees, something ridiculous like that, over the horizon. And that is just marvelous for projecting your signal downrange with some emphasis. So there are, you know, even though you're on top of the rock, and I've made this argument too, the trick is just be clear of the trees and the ground clutter for one set of antennas, and then it's okay to have another set of antennas that is along, let's say, where we are up at the Nike base, to get some augmentation of signals from an antenna that's closer to the ground, let's say maybe 15 or so feet off the ground. You get some local reflections that will actually provide ground reflections to enhance your signal, especially on 6 and 2 meters, and to some degree 220, to a lesser extent 432. But you actually do get that. What happens with 432 in particular is you get more attenuation from the foliage than you do enhancement off the ground reflections. Yeah, but at 2 meters even, and sometimes 220, you actually get augmentation of the signal. And certainly at 6 meters you do, with the low antenna. But stacking a lot of antennas up high, or getting a single Yagi up high, can sometimes be very different. You know, you really got three modes. The low antenna getting the ground augmentation, the high antenna getting the perspective of just raw distance, but stacking in between, getting that radiation angle down below, or low on the horizon but far out, puts all that RF out there on the horizon as far as you can see. So each one of those modes has a different propagation characteristic. And I won't even go into meteor scatter or into what happens when you have aurora. Aurora, actually, you want a big high lobe as you would for meteor scatter or for aurora, because there you want the radiation to go up. All right, any other questions or topics or commentaries? Did you, could you make a presentation about the contest this weekend? Sure. Tony, why don't you do that? Where are you meeting, how are you doing it, when are you going to be operating to and from, all that good stuff.
You may forget something, so listen carefully and maybe you can fill me in. So we'll be starting, of course, this weekend is the VHF contest for the ARL and for Barra, and we usually have a club effort that is very impressive. But we start by showing up at 8 o'clock at a garage that we have here in Newmont, and location of which I don't want to announce on this repeater, but you can be found out for contacting other members. At that point, at 8 o'clock, we look over the equipment, lay it out, and make sure we know what we're going to bring up. And by 9 o'clock, a pickup truck will show up, and we will load everything into a large truck, including generators, antenna sections, towers, tents, and food, cooking equipment, and so forth. We then, once the truck is loaded, by, say, 10 o'clock, we'll roll up to the Nike site, which is a Nike Park in Orangetown. And if you go up Route 303 to Spruce Street, go over the border into New York State, and go about 2 miles up the border, past Lowe's Hardware Store up there, and on the right side, look for Spruce Street. Make a right turn at Spruce Street and keep climbing up the hill. Always make right turns. When you get to a four-way intersection, which is near the top of the hill, you make another right turn, and you end up on a boulevard. I can't remember the first name of the boulevard right now, but you take that boulevard, which, as you approach and a right turn, within a quarter of a mile, you can look down on the Tappan Zee Bridge, and that boulevard, what is it, Tate Boulevard? No, I can't think of that. Maybe one of you guys can come up with it in a moment. But you progress along that area about a mile or two, looking down on the Hudson River and looking at some very beautiful homes along the way that overlook the cliffs into the river and into the Yonkers and so forth. You look for Nike Park and make another right turn and go up Nike Park's road all the way as far as you can to a gate around, eventually at the top, after you pass the gate, you make a turn around a water tank and continue up another couple hundred feet to the very, very top of the hill where you'll find Barra setting up equipment and maybe operating if you get there after 2 o'clock. And we hope to get on the air by 2 o'clock with four bands. We'll have a kilowatt on 6 meters, and a kilowatt on 2 meters, and probably 100 watts on 432 and 222. We'll operate from 2 o'clock Saturday, probably until at least 2 or 3 in the afternoon on Sunday. We like to, because of our advancing age of the club, knock down the equipment and get it put away by 5 o'clock back in the garage, and we all take a nap. Back to Ned for any other comments.
Yeah, Tony, just could you remind me, what's the name of the street off of 303?
Spruce Street. Spruce Street. And there's a new diner on the left, and it's just above Lowe's new hardware location up there on 303. But look for Spruce Street, like tree spruce.
Okay. I think that's the key point. And everything after that is right-hand turns. When you come to the very top of the hill on the ridgeline, you make a right at the four-way, and that's, I forget what the name of that road is, but then you take it down to Nike Road, and again on the right. It's a three-way intersection, because if you, make a left, you'll go through someone's yard and then fall off the Palisades and crashing into the Hudson River. If you miss Nike Road, I'm going to throw this out there. If you miss Nike Road, it's going to take you down onto 9W, oddly enough, up in New York State, north of Tappan. And if you do that, just find a way to come back up on the road and look for the left onto Nike Road. You'll find it. But that's the point. What you also may want to do is simply Google Nike Road, Orangetown. Is it Orangetown? I think it's Orangetown, not Orangeburg. It's Orangetown, New York. I think that will help you with your GPS if you're using a GPS.
Can I also mention the grid squares?
Absolutely. The Tour de Rivervale.
Hey, if you head into Rivervale and drive around Rivervale a piece, you'll cover 4 grid squares, 21, 31, 30, and 20, 20, 21, 30, and 31. And you basically don't have to worry about where you're going. Just drive around Rivervale, and you'll get into the grid squares. If you get a map, you can find the exact locations. And we do have a map on our website as to what streets you actually cover on. But what we want you to do is operate preferably FM. Noel will be running the FM station, and he'll be on 2 meters FM around 144.580. Is that right, Noel? I think so. 144.580, I think it is. We'll be on 146.000 FM simplex. 446.000. We'll be on 223.500 in the 2 meter band. We will not have 6 meter FM available at that time. But generally, if you operate those 3 bands and those 4 grid squares, you can give us lots of points. And of course, operating the 222 or 432 band gives us double points. One contact equals 2 points. So definitely try to operate 432 if you can. Operate 2 meters where we get 1 point, but it's welcomed. And drive around the grid squares in Rivervale. You can even operate from your own hometown and pick up grid squares there in 31 and 21 and wherever your location is. Give us your 2 or 3 contacts from your own home grid square. We appreciate that. Anything further, Gordon?
Okay, let me just straighten out a couple of things. The frequency for 2 meters is 146.58. 146.58. And then the 2 national simplex frequencies for 220 and 432, or 446, it's respectively 223.5, 223.5, and 446.0, 446.0. It's best to start off on 146.58. But keep an ear out on 446, typically, because often that's where they're trying to dig out. If they're not answering on 2 meters, it's usually because they're trying to quickly do a 220 contact and digging out a contact on 446. those signals are markedly weaker. But now, just for reference, if you take a grid of four, FN 31 is into the northeast. FN 20, I'm sorry, let's try that again. FN 30 is to the southeast. FN 20 is to the southwest. FN 21 is to the northwest. And FN 31 is the northeast. So think about Connecticut being 31, the Ramapo Mountains being 21, most of New Jersey being 20, and most of New York City, Long Island, not all, but most, is 30. So that's pretty much how you think about what directions you're going to go in when you're looking at your grid map. So in rotation, 20, going up north to 21, going east to 31, and going south and east to 30. So that's pretty much it. So when you're different parts of Rivervale, you can plot that out. You can just plot a route around the center of Rivervale, and that will be sufficient. And you can just pick a random spot and say, okay, I'm operating from this grid, and then move, a half a mile down the road and go another grid, and so on and so on. That's pretty much how it works. And use the call sign, but use your call sign with the word rover afterwards. That's also very helpful, so that the guys know. The other thing is, please operate other stations other than K2BAR. You got to have other call signs in your grid, including possibly other mobiles. That's fine, but make sure you have other call signs other than your own. K2BAR in your log. Anything else? All right, everybody. I'm at my wit's end. Are there any other comments? Okay. I'm going to say 73. I'm going to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater. And we'll wish everybody a good night. We'll talk to you later. This is K2BAR, W2TTT, off and clear. I got to go take a phone call. Bye-bye.
OEL, K2AMI. 2OEL around, K2AMI calling. W2CH, W2CH from K2EIR.
K2EIR, W2CH. Did you call me, Howie?
I did indeed.
Yes, okay, I was just looking at something in the computer, but I heard the net finish. And I was going to say, if you want to find out about corner reflectors, you can look in the aerial antenna handbook, too.
Yeah, I just grabbed that while Gordon went on to other topics, and I found a few pages on it with dimensions, and they did have it for the ground plane, where they made, the ground plane was part of the construction of the corner reflector at the base. I didn't see anything where it would apply to a collinear with its own radials. So I'm pretty sure, it could work. Again, I'm thinking of not doing the utmost, but just getting a few dB in the right direction. And they say if you narrow the angle and whatever, you can get up to like 14 dB forward gain.
Yes, I do see in the book that ground plane version that looks like a triangle and then an open with what is this, the reflector there. And then the one they show that's like the usual corner reflector, which used to be popular sometimes for UHF TV. I'm trying to remember if I had one. Just somehow, somewhere used it. But the one that Arrow had, I did see the diagram and parts for it I found on a Google but they no longer have it. But it can be a quite good with the front to back if you're trying to keep away from another repeater on the same frequency. I mean, as you discussed, but anyway.
Yeah, and again, you have to remember, here's a fellow, I want to give him something to try on the cheap. He already has an antenna up and on his balcony, and one of the factors is he can't, you know, he doesn't want to have something that becomes very visible. So, you know, corner reflectors being larger than many of these antennas, it's not such a great idea. But I thought, you know, he might be able to make something they could put up temporarily for when he operates on the CBS retirees net, which wouldn't be too big a deal, you know, because he can do the stuff out of aluminum wire. And the idea was, hey, you can buy a pound of aluminum wire for, you know, maybe $7 and a 10-foot PVC pipe, which you can cut, you know, for another $3. So for $10, you can build yourself a nice corner reflector. You know, you might need some other hardware, an inch, and experiment. And if it gives you the extra dB you need to go from a signal that's dropping out to a signal that might be just under full quieting, hey, what a deal.
Yes, yes, very good that you can do it pretty simply. As I saw in the diagram there, and then you have your, you know, at the apex there in the front, you have your dipole that is being reflected back to from it. And I know what you mean. I mean, being with a balcony here, you're in an apartment. I don't think a big corner reflector would be too good. I've had the Diamond X50, which is that white one. I've got the MP antenna, which does 220/440 right now. Of course, I've got a bit of height with four floors. And I've got the hamstick out and also a dipole for six. I was on six earlier when I heard the band was open. And I still heard a few signals during the net, and I did work to Illinois, so maybe it'll be good for the contest this weekend. And also, so as far as the antennas go, yes, and I do have some beams. I have a 2 and 432 beam, the MFJ one, which I put up within the terrace temporarily during the contest, just aimed southeast. And I have a 432 beam. But there's many antennas and things you can try out there for gain. Of course, a vertical, omnidirectional type, you'll get things, whatever the gain, from all directions.
Well, I have to say, it sounds like you have quite a farm there. More than I'd expect. Actually, I've been thinking about your screwdriver, because I've been really wanting to do HF, and I have hamsticks, but I haven't even put them on the car recently. You know, to operate stationary, I have operated mobile with them, but you know, listening. But it really does put a strain on the trunk lid, with the trunk lid mount. And I'm thinking that it would be good to have a good rugged mount, and you can do that with a screwdriver, you know. Maybe mounted on a trailer hitch. Of course, you have to have all that put in. Right now, I'm not thinking of that. I just don't usually have time. I shouldn't even be on the air tonight. I have so much I should do, but I'm exhausted. But I'll take care of that, I think, by trying to go to sleep in just a few minutes. So, very good. What else? I wanted to ask you. In fact, I'm glad you brought up 6 meters here in Illinois. Because I've been hearing that 6 meters was opening, and you know, it's logical. It's June, right? And it's supposedly close to the peak of the sunspot cycle, although this is a weird cycle. What frequencies are you hearing these stations on, and what modes? Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, K2EIR, W2CH. Well, tonight, you know, the usual part of the band, 125 up to about 200. I worked at 50.1335 K9ZO in EN 50, and there were quite a few, right? Like there was that one hot spot there in Illinois, in that central part of the state. I think he was near Bloomington. And I heard others, and then all in that area, very limited, but strong. When I worked him, he was a 9, went to 20 over. I was just using the hamstick, because really that polarization doesn't matter so much on skip. No, Howie. Just telling Marilyn who I'm talking to. K2EIR, Howie, yeah.
Hi.
She says hello.
Hello.
Anyway, so they were up and down the band. Then I heard a couple of AMers at 50.4, but fairly weak. And a lot of CW around 50.80s and 90s. And some were pretty strong. As a matter of fact, I'd say 20 over with those signals. So it should be, of course, this time of the year and with the contest this weekend. Last year was Good Friday night before the contest, too. We even spoke with N2BJ out in Illinois.
Oh, I'm impressed. K2EIR. Hi, Marilyn. So the stuff at 50.1 to 25 to 200, that was all single sideband.
Hi, Howie, KG2NKU Friday, hello.
Hello.
Okay, yeah, that was all sideband. The AM was, as they do use, 50.4, and below about 5100, you know, below the DX window. There wasn't any real DX coming in like other times we've run into. Worked Europe and Costa Rica, Caribbean, and the West Coast at certain times. But that's where it was. The CW was below, and then you could hear beacons towards 50.60s and 70s.
Okay. Well, I've got to take a listen one of these days. I'd like to hear that. I don't know what I can see, but I have basically a wire in the tree outside, and it's pretty lofty on 2 meters and 432. Surprisingly, a reasonable SWR. But last year in field day, I worked with Wisconsin with the antenna tuned to maltuned. I didn't even realize it. And I think I don't remember if it was sideband or FM. So with that wire, so I figure if I could do that, if it comes in, I'll hear it. But I don't have enough experience of what 6 meters here is like on my wire. That's the only antenna. Well, I have a hamstick with 6 meters, but everything near the apartment is very noisy. We've got a lot of electrical noise here, especially after dark. Okay, well, I'll turn it over to you. We'll let you wrap it up. Say goodbye, Marilyn. W2CH from K2EIR.
Okay, Howie, we'll say goodnight. Like you said, you want to get going, but thanks for the shout. Yeah, the screwdriver, the diamond one, used at Mobile, works pretty well. It doesn't seem to stress the K400 mount too much. I've had the hamsticks on the triple magnet mount, and that seems to hold okay. I tried a lighter mount at first, the first time with a 20-meter hamstick, and it broke off on 287 at 60 miles an hour. Luckily, nobody around, and well, that was lost. But I learned a lesson from that. So, yeah, the noise here is not bad. Like you say, at night, sometimes lights and more people around. The only thing I get when they have it on, since people moved on the floor below in the living room, which affects AM more than my outside antennas, is a plasma TV. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Okay, well, say goodnight. Good talking with you, and maybe we'll see you around the contest. Good luck to you then, if you're on K2EIR, W2CH.
And K2NKU,
88.
Okay, 73 Maryland, 73 Ray, KC2, I'm going to forget it. I didn't write it down. NGU. No, that isn't NKU. That's it. NKU. And W2CH. Here's K2EIR. I'm going to go that away. Bye-bye, folks.
Good night.
midnight. W2CH clear.
W2TTT, K2ETN, you're listening, Gordon.
When he ended the net, he said he had a landline, K2EIR.
Did Gordon have a landline?
Affirmative.
All right, then I will wait until he comes back. I got a question, maybe you could answer it for me. You know anything at all about snorkeling?
Snorkeling, absolutely nothing.
Okay, I thought I'd ask.
Maybe I should take that back. No, it isn't really true of snorkeling. All I was going to say is, I know if you go far enough down, you get and you come up too soon, you get the bends. That's about the extent of my knowledge about underwater and coming up.
Well, that wouldn't be snorkeling. You got to go down maybe 500 feet or something. Snorkeling, you're right on the surface. No, I was talking with somebody about it a little while ago, and it seems to me, I'm trying to remember what the face masks look like. I think the snorkel tube is part of the mask, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I can't say that I remember very accurately either. I think the last time I saw this stuff, I was still a kid, and I definitely am not a kid anymore. Okay, I was going to pull the switch here, so I'm going to do that. 73, K2EIR.
K73, good night to you. W2EIR, K2ETN, you're listening.